Down to brass tacks. It's 11:47. Hello? Down to brass tacks. Hello? You on the air?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm on, sir.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Turn off your radio. That's creating a distraction.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you, man?
I'm well, and you?
Yeah, pretty good to know. You're batting good, though.
How so?
Man, you're on a level playing field.
All right. I want to hear you, though.
You're on a level playing field. I can talk to you. You remember one time that you told me that I am playing for the Dodgers?
Yeah, I remember telling you that years ago.
And I told you I'm playing for Miami. But I realize now that you are playing for the Dodgers. You're hitting hard. And I hope that you'll keep it up. I want to know from you.
Mm-hmm.
There's anywhere that we can get that CBC to be on a level playing field?
What do you mean, level how?
CBC does not do anything good for the Barbados Labour Party.
For the Labour Party?
Yeah,
But you know that changes. There are times when the Labour Party in office, over the years, there have been times when they did nothing good for the Dems either.
When I talk about speeches. When you say you speak in the House Assembly, I think that if you are going to bring the LP, you should bring all the other...
I think quite frankly that there are some areas where we have fallen away from accepted practice and standards.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that when you're dealing with Parliament, for instance, it has been accepted practice that there is balance in the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, this seems to have gone through the eddies in recent times.
Mm-hmm.
That if you carry one, you ought to carry the other.
Exactly.
If you ask one to pay for something, you ask the next one to pay for it as well. That's what you're supposed to do. And the people who are in these political parties have traditionally been the ones to press for it.
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't done, they draw it to national attention and they call for it.
David, let me stop you there. I remember that the leader of the opposition was paying to be heard on CBC. And they said they don't want the money. They wouldn't take it.
Yeah, but you know, fortunately in Barbados, you have other outlets that you can use. I mean, and I see the political parties using the social media a lot more to express their views and to get their points of view across. But that does not negate the responsibility that media houses have in the country to actually be fair in the reporting. Now, it is particularly relevant if it is a state-owned entity. And we are, you know, taking these entities down the slippery slope. You know, because you're creating an environment where the next guy who comes will want to take it one step further. So you give a limited amount of time. The next thing you know, you get somebody else will give you no time at all. And you bear in mind that you're not in office forever, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
Only for a short period. Look, 10 years and even 14 and 15 years, it goes in a flash. In a flash. So it does not make sense. It's short-sighted.
Exactly. Let me get to my point, though. Dwight Sutherland has put down one of the best speeches in the estimate. And I never heard a word of it on CBC. Never heard one word. I don't know if you followed it, David.
I followed a number of these speeches.
It's ridiculous.
I also thought that Mara Thompson's speech was one of her stronger speeches, and I Clearly, yeah. From that speech, she has no plan of retiring from politics.
I heard a little of hers too. But I figured that, right? If she's going to bring all the other speeches, why you leave out Dwight Sutherland?
Well, you know, I am not. In all fairness, though, look, that is influenced to a large extent by where the focus is. The only thing you can find out for all the people who have spoken, the reporter can come to a conclusion that they're going to put the accent on a different speaker and a different issue. What is required there is that as long as that person, whether it's a BLP or a DLP spokesperson, what you need is if there's a counter to that, then that counter is carried as well. And if there's no counter to the comment, you look for something else from another member of the opposition or the other side to balance the fact that you're carrying information from both of them. I cannot get involved in saying to you that they had a responsibility to carry Dwight Sutherland because they can't carry every speaker.
But you know it can be different from what you're saying.
It can be, but I'm not so sure that it was in this instance. You know? Anyhow, I'm going to go to the regional roundup and then we come back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Now, periodically people come to us here at the studio to air their grievances. And if we believe that there is some validity in hearing them, then we tell them, come, share it. Not everybody is given the opportunity to come in here and share, though. So don't think for 1 minute that you could just turn up here as you like. But this particular matter is featured in the newspaper today, where Mrs. Marilyn Phillip has a concern. How long have you been living in Canada now?
I left Barbados in 1974.
And you have decided that you want to come back home?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and what has happened?
Well, I came into Barbados in September last year, and I went into the Foreign Affairs to inquire as to what I need to do to return home, and they gave me a list of things I had to do to qualify, which I followed. I came into Barbados on the 11th of December, and on the 12th of December, I had an interview at Foreign Affairs, and I was given a letter with directives for the customs comptroller as well as myself, and it did say in it that I was able to import my belongings and my car free of all duties and taxes.
Yeah, I have a copy of this letter here. It says that you were processed under the Barbados Network Program on December 12, 2017, and that you were eligible to receive duty-free concessions on your personal effects and one vehicle under the provisions of government's resettlement policy. So what went wrong there after that?
I have no idea because I had my broker, and right now I still have my car in the port and I still have my personal belongings. The first set of personal belongings I picked up in January, the officer said she valued it at $800, and they were basically all used clothing and stuff like that. And she said, and I said, well, they're my used clothing. Then she decreased it to $400, so I had to pay a 10% NRSL tax on my used clothing and that type of thing. And so then yesterday, so I've been battling this from January 11th, so now yesterday I went back to collect my other items, and they said the officer, I gave her the letter that I received from Foreign Affairs, and they told me that that didn't mean anything to them. I would be charged duty on that. I need to go into the port to meet with someone to get a different type of paper. Well, my broker called several people, none of whom were available at work yesterday, and she's still working on it today. She's not got any help from anyone. In order for me to get my things. But also, she said, I will still have to pay the 10% because of the system she has set up to put in the value of my things. It will still be a 10% charge to NRSL on my personal effects.
And the car?
On the car as well as my personal
effects. And that would take you to how much additional money there?
At least $5,000, because she said it's based on the purchase price of my vehicle, which is a 2014 vehicle.
Where does that leave you, therefore?
With my car staying in the port and me not having it and being very sad and disappointed and feel like if I was lied to, I'm misinformed.
It's difficult for you to take that car out now after all?
Yes, very, because I was not prepared for that type of thing. I took early retirement and came home. I was not expecting that. If I was told this in September when I came, because it was after I came in September and I inquired about it, that's when I went back, retired, and decided to come home in December.
So this was done after the increase in SRL had been imposed?
I would assume so, because I'm not familiar with the tax, that particular tax. The first time I found out about that tax was from the custom officer in January 9th when I went to collect my first set of items.
Well, the question is, how many other Barbadians returning home may be facing this particular problem, and what is the government going to say to those people? Because they feel deceived. That's basically what she's saying. I mean, you give a person correspondence, documentation to say that they are entitled to duty-free status, but then you come and tell them that you made an error, or it wasn't really supposed to be, you missed out something, or, you know, they feel as though, you know, you're not being straight with them. So the government has to address this particular one.
Well, I've written letters. I've had response from the Minister of Foreign Affairs. She's been very favorable, trying to help me with that. And I've also had letter hand delivered to the Minister of Finance, which I've not had any response back. And that letter was hand delivered the day after the last holiday, the Arabara Day. And I've never had any response back. And so I just feel like I'm sitting in limbo. And I know that they're busy with their stuff, but this is very important to me. And I'm not asking for anything special. I'm just wanting that they've given me this letter and their conditions. If I don't comply with that, then I have certain conditions. So I'm thinking, if I have to pay this $5,000 for my car, then why are they expecting me to be in Barbados for 183 days a year, bringing registration and insurance every 183 days, my passport, and I'm limited to how much I can travel, leave the island, and that type of thing. So to me, it's one or the other. They promised that they're giving me something, and I have to do something in return, but at this rate, they're not giving me anything if I'm expected to pay this tax on my vehicle and my personal belongings.
The correspondent says here, the vehicle must be held for a period of at least 5 years after the date of issue of this letter. Your status will expire on December 11th of each year for a period of 5 years and must be renewed. At the time of renewal, you should supply the following information in order for your status to be renewed. A. Proof of your being on the island for a minimum period of 183 days prior to the renewal being granted. B. Evidence of the vehicle still being registered in your name with the chief licensing officer. C. Evidence of a valid motor insurance certificate. And D. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade must be kept informed of all changes to your mailing address during the period. Well, Mrs. Phillip, I sincerely wish you well. I hope that coming out of this, you can get a resolution of this particular problem. And we'd be keen to hear from any other Barbadians who are having this as a problem. Thank you very much for coming.
And thank you for hearing my story.
Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, morning, Debbie.
Yes, welcome.
How are you? I'm glad your friend can talk.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. FF for that lady, I sympathize with her, and I think she was misled and deceived, and if it is documented, she should seek legal redress. My thing here, though, is about this increase in bus fare that, what page are you on, eh? The professor from university is proposing Dr. Troy Lord. People have not had an increase in salary wages for years. People are already burdened with taxes. People are already saying that they're paying $2 in bus fare. Who in their right mind would want to propose a further increase in bus fares? Don't these people have any consideration for people who are very disadvantaged, already disadvantaged? What is going to do what these kind of things are going to do is to drive people to do things that they would normally do. Already you have seen it happening. How much more can people take? I think what has to be done is to take a serious look at the management of the Barbados Transport Board. You cannot have problems of this nation. You're firing the maid and the gardener. You have to take a look.
You don't say so all the time.
Tell me another way it can be done.
You say this tell all me. The time.
Tell me. And then we keep on saying, tell me.
Hold on.
When the minister was on the phone
come
and
on.
Then refused to meet with him at his office, a lot of people had a lot to say for the minister.
But you were.
No. David, don't disappoint me. Why is it that the minister don't want to come publicly and have a discussion with me?
Able to go through that with you and the minister again. Good grief.
Why?
The minister could well have been advised that to come and sit down and talk with you would be to give you too much notice and attention and would just catapult you to a position where you might be running for the UPP next.
Well, I can tell you something, see? He had this opportunity, refused it, and I'm going to wobble, and I'm going to talk.
Oh, okay. Talk.
You see, I'm going to talk.
All right, buddy.
Transport Board is greatly mismanaged. It is greatly mismanaged. You know that, too. Oh, by the way, I want to know, or you can tell the public, which staff member will be on too many buses?
I really don't know how many minibuses are owned by people.
Around me. People, I talk about a staff member at your establishment.
The truth of the matter is this, that if indeed, as you are saying, there is a member of staff that owns minibuses, it is not in my place to divulge that information to you or anybody else. If the person wants that information known to the public, they will do it themselves.
You know why I mentioned that? I'm not saying that nobody don't have a right to own anything they want to own. I hear that the chaotic situation is because of who own the minibuses. I truly, honestly feel that any citizen in Barbados have a legal right to own anything legally. Right? And I don't feel that they should be exempt from the law.
Right? The only issue that arises sometimes with these things is what you may describe as any potential conflict of interest. You know, if there's a conflict of interest, then it puts you in a completely different zone. But as you say, you know, people...
It should not be a conflict of interest. It's law to the land. I want to know something else quickly. There have been a lot of stabbings involving school children.
Yeah.
We have a Minister of Education, and we have a Prime Minister, which is Minister of all ministers. Not a word for any man. Not a word. What really going on? I mean...
All right, sir. Let's move on.
All right.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
A blessed good morning to you, Mr. Ellis.
Same to you.
Yeah, Ellis. I want to give my little 2 cents here. And it would be very stern. No, I don't call this very often. I listen to the program. I call him when I feel it. I have to call. I have to make up. I still on your program. I hear a guy. I don't know if he's impaired. I see he's impaired. But if he's impaired, there's nothing wrong because all of us have something. And he's making a point that why these people left the Barbados Labour Party. Let me just state to him in no uncertain manner. Did he know that Richie Haynes left the Democratic Labour Party? Did he know that Frank Allen left the Democratic Labour Party, Dr. Kettle, and went all the way to the foreign parties? Did he know that? The Second Empire. Well, when he spoke about this stupidness, I wonder what they were thinking. And so I don't know that there's no valid point. Sometimes we left a party, and they don't see there's no valid point. My point is why left the party, and I don't know about why. But nobody has come from 90 parties and tell what the people left. Let me get on the point, and I want to say it to you and the nation. I see strongly all this. It's a family link to party life, people's life, and parties and what, and different departments. And I want to say that I always believe, okay, that when you have a family, you have to be very careful who comes into it. It can also change your family genetics. Your family life can cause confusion. Boys and girls, if you have a daughter or son, and women a boy girlfriend coming or boyfriend coming, you have to be very careful who you bring in. It can cause a lot of confusion afterwards in that matter. I don't want to link it to political parties, and I want to say what I've said there. Both the DLP and the BLP, I want to say the BLP especially, have to care who are coming to their party and want to go in as a candidate, and what are the really intentions. I mean, like Johnny McBoy said, some people come, publish, do things. I don't want to say that, I want to put that the same status of these things. No. I heard, I went to boxes, well, first thing, this new party, I look at many people who in it. I have never seen David Rachel, some people with a legend in the paper, at no time at all, seen nothing in the rest of the world. But now they're coming and they're forming a party. But they have people up front that are serving, maybe in political things, serving the party. But I don't understand what their policy. I remember when Richie Haynes did the Democratic Party. He emphasized on the party at the time, and he emphasized on the ruling party. And he made his main step strange. I'm a fan. Alan too had a party, and he went for bars by the economists, and he spoke with the party pretty there. Carol too. I didn't know Carol, even my mother's position, you know, him very talk to me for certain things. Like this. I see a change in this party, I don't understand. I see this code that come called the Simple Party. I know that they're not attacking the government of the day. They're not attacking the government of the day. They're coming everything there about the original party. If there has to be a party, it has to move the government of the day. They have to move the government. They're not the opposition party. I don't see why they're coming attacking the party. But I want to know what.
But you know that some of these, let's say the UPP, for instance, Lynette Eastman used to be with the Barbados Labour Party.
I can leave that now.
And you have Dr. Agard, who clearly comes across as being bitter towards the Labour Party as well.
I have to ask about when that comes up, people know.
At the end of the day, you understand what is at work there. Then there's Solutions Barbados. You know, so there's a group of people who have come out of the Labour Party because they and certain people in the Labour Party couldn't set horse.
Yeah, I know. It happened in all parties. It happened all. But let me get to Miss Eastman. I born and grew up in Boston. I went to meetings sometime hearing her. I was disappointed about her. Very disappointed. I explained to you, and maybe you share the same views as me, her spam. She was saying the Barbados Labour Party did nothing at all whatsoever. She said that to the city. My man, she's far from the truth. She sat down and chatted with the leader for 2 terms. If it is that, she's making Lily look foolish and stupid because she's saying the Barbados Labour Party have not done nothing for the city. You see the Barbados Labour Party, say, if it's one Bridgetown, everything that is done in Bridgetown, done by the BLP, from start, by the Harmony Hospital, everything, Spring Bridge, everything, come back, the Labour housing, everything the Barbados Labour Party did in the city. So I find her stupid. Very stupid as a woman sat on the bar on the cabinet minister coming to her stupidness. She's stupid about that. I am watching their direction and where they're going. I hear that they talk about sewage. Now, let me tell you, Dave, I work in the Department of Health for many years. We must have a sewage system in this country. You have to stop these water sources, one. You also have to stop these things from going to the sea and corrupting the whole system. And then people can come and talk about blame to this body, next body, third body. Let me tell you something. All governments in the world, all over the world, who wins or loses a government, leaves something there for somebody to do. It's maintenance that you have to continue with. You have to maintain things and continue. Not talk about who left it. All government left that. All government left this thing. All left this. No. Thank you. Come. You love me. Program. Come and talk about somebody left that. It's foolishness. All government left that. So government governments take over from governments. So left parties that are there. Honestly, it's a finish. So it's true. I want some people to be more mature when they're talking stupidness on this program. I think your moderators need to put me in place. Your moderators that one is a listener, man. You should sit up and but Stephen, you're going the wrong direction. You're a man from Strickest Times. You come and talk about nuts every day. Stupid every day. I put it down and listen to him. I give him time before people got sincere. You might point, David, let me tell you something. I see it as an election and a time for conservation, not because of the political party. Who can do better or what? Or where you're going to. And this is time not for making sport, for where you're going to get serious with politics. I get serious with the country. I'm not by yourself, I'm not by the political party. That's what political chantalism in this country. Who is the LP for the BLP? Not me. all my party doing wrong, they said wrong, and I was very hard to support them. So I think we ought to do that. Left with this chipness about political parties and B's and P's and G's and all kind of nonsense, and be fierce about their conditions, okay? And that, I close my argument, and I'm done. I want to hear.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello? Dr. Brastat?
Yes. Good afternoon. Yes. Oh, I'd just like to mention about the minivans on the road and the nonsense that they are doing, especially when it comes to school children. On mornings in Spikestown, all after 10 o'clock, you see school children standing in Spikestown waiting for these vans, and the music, all the gunplay and all that. I am not surprised that we have so much violence in Barbados. Because if you have minivans and you can't tell, there's a law, and you can't tell tell them what to do, or if to turn down the music or anything, something is wrong.
I can understand the concern, and you know, we really need to look seriously at this whole question too, of what's happening on the minibuses. You heard the minister saying that there's a need to, the plan to integrate private and public sector vehicles. But then he also points out that many of the people in the private sector are worried about the behavior of the students on the buses and what they're likely to do to their property. What he didn't say is how they're going to address that for the private owners, because nobody wants to put themselves at that kind of risk.
Well, if the conductors and the persons that drive the minivans were actually respectful in the first place, because they told them to take out the kind of music, and they had an excuse for that. They always seem to have an excuse for bad management. And then they talk about the children damaging the vans. I mean, some are encouraged to catch the vans on evenings.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And the persons that they hire to drive the van, some of them are drunk, and it's only because they want more money from the school. If the children's fare was raised, I bet you they will want them on their vans.
Yeah, I understand the concern.
Yes, they're saying that because what happens is that I am also forced to catch the minivan because there's no... I live in St. Lucie, and sometimes you don't always see a bus. Some of you stand there for 2 hours, so you're forced in to catch two transportations, and you end up catching the minivan. So it's making, and not only that, I don't normally listen to the music,
mm-hmm.
but when you have that in your ears or something, it is something called conditioning. You understand?
Yeah.
You hear the music in your ears, you hear the tune, you hear the tone, sometimes you find yourself having alone things that you don't even listen to. You don't know the words, but you hear the tunes all the time. You understand? So you can't even open your mouth and say, well, lower that down. The tourists getting, you see some tourists getting, ears blocked. You understand?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a law in Barbados. If you show the children art, they can't even handle the minivans. How they can handle the children?
Understood.
You understand?
Understood.
I would like to speak quickly.
Sure.
The second point is that I've seen people in Barbados that are working. Yes, but some people don't work a lot of days. I know a girl, she works for 3 days a week. She looks good and everything. Marion Stewart, and she looks good and everything, but she's saying she's working. But when you're working and you have a house to maintain, rent to pay, it sometimes could be $1,000 a month. I mean, what are you working to do? You can't build a home. You can't do anything. You're just there living at your mom, and you have to build on a part of your mom's house. I mean, how embarrassing is that to some people? I mean, that is not the way you should go, right? Third point, let me make it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I work in a good job, all right? And I took, it was a long time that I didn't want to come on radio and say this. But sometimes you work in a good job in Barbados, yes. But because of the risk and the cost of living, you want a home. You hear something on the radio, yes, go there and you can get a nice home, get this thing and all that. You go, but the interest rate then, when you're finished, you're getting the same amount as the person at your small street or a person. So it's you have a good job, yes, but it is still a struggle. You understand?
So
especially to get your own, even getting your own.
Tell me, though, why were you troubled to raise this in public before?
Because I have found that, all right, I find that a lot of people going through the same thing, and I will tell you about it over radio. I'm going to come out with it, you understand? As a single person, you go out there, you want your own home, especially when people see that you are, as a woman, you understand? I mean, there are some people, you go and build your home and all that. There are people that come to you saying that, oh, I'm going to do this, and this is going to be in a certain time,
you know what,
whatever.
You know what this
and they
brings,
rob you blind.
You know what it brings, right. You're talking, there are various aspects to this, huh?
Yes.
There is a notion in this country that there are a lot of people who are merely complaining for the sake of complaining, that there's really nothing that wrong with Barbados, that you see people going along every day, doing their work, doing their thing. And basically, why are we complaining? You know, when they see you on the street, they don't know that you have troubles, right?
You don't.
No.
You don't, especially when people see you like, they say, oh, you're in a good job, you know. But the cost of living has risen so high. If you go to buy your snacks or you want a home, yes, everybody wants a home. Yes, you would like the best in life. You're not going to eat starters every day. Yes, you would like to travel. Why not? You went to school. You learned. You went to UWE, you went this place, you went the other place, and you want to live a certain way, yes. Nothing is wrong with that. But when you go into these things as a person that wants something better for yourself, and then you recognize, well, look, it's not all.
I want to hear a bit more from you when we come back from the news, because I think your story is one that people need to get a better understanding and appreciation of. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay on the line or are you going to let us call you back?
I'm going to stay on the line.
Excellent. Thank you very much. The latest is next. Good afternoon. This program ends at 1 o'clock. When we went to the news just now, we had this lady on the line, and she was basically telling us about the struggle that some people face in the country when it comes to trying to make ends meet. And even though, as you say, you have a good job. When you say you have a good job, what are you talking about in terms of income? You can tell me that?
A good job, when you go and you train and you learn and do a skill,
mm-hmm.
and you get paid for your skill.
And a good salary. I mean a good job,
yes,
ultimately.
Yes, well, people look as, I can't say what, but...
Middle class?
A good salary, yes. No, you don't got middle class in Barbados anymore.
You don't think so?
Nah. Because I talk to people that are not like I choose people to talk to, but they drive nice cars, they do everything that is supposed to be nice, go to nice places and all that. But when you speak to them, they're in so much debt. They don't get paid a lot of money or any month comes because the debt has run because they're keeping up appearances, they are trained and whatever.
Like your country. So just like the country, you two, those people, will be required to change lifestyle.
Yes, you talk about change lifestyle.
And how difficult is
but
that?
But some of them are Barbadians are proud people. When you mm-hmm. say that you have learned or you try to enjoy the finer things in life. Some
but you can't afford it. If you can't afford it, for instance, one of the things that people do regularly in Barbados right now is eat out often. So you will go and buy groceries at the end of the month or whatever, but rather than cook at home, some of those very things may be left in the refrigerator to spoil because
you're eating
a lunch, and a lunch costs from $10 to $20 or so on a daily basis. If you eat at a place that the person can cover their own overheads, they don't have to rent from somebody, they'll most likely sell you a meal at $10 or $12. But what is so difficult in your judgment to get Barbadians to recognize that you just can't live as you were living before?
Barbadians are a proud people.
And you said that the second time you said that.
But listen, I am a person. I don't eat out. I'm a single mom. I don't eat out at no fancy, nothing. I don't think right now. I can say this on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing. You want to get your own home.
Yeah.
You understand? I spoke to ladies that want to that are doing their own home and all that. Yes, there are people that don't always run to the restaurants and don't always run to buy nice cars and things. They want to be comfortable for their children. But they have some people out there that are vultures. You understand?
You especially take advantage of you.
Especially to single women. They come, they saw this job cost 2,000 something, but it only cost 500. I mean, there are people out there that are vultures.
You mean basically you especially what?
Especially when it comes to persons that I've talked to that are single women also. You understand? Certain people I thought that was in a higher, you would call a higher echelon.
Yeah.
That I would speak to. And then they're saying, oh, they're going through so much and this thing and all that. That and their life is not...
But you began by saying to me, you began by saying just now that part of the problem is that you want to get a home. So in trying to get a
home... You want to get a home.
So in trying to get a home, you are saving money.
You're saving, you're going out there, you're getting your little loans, you're getting your little, you understand? And I find that people that are in my bracket are single mothers.
How many children you have?
I can't speak everything on the radio.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I find that they say they get people to do their houses because, you know, they're struggling, they're doing, you know, they're following their career, they're educated and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they find some people that come that try to dupe them out of what they are working for.
How are they trying to dupe you?
Like, okay, the contractors, let's say.
Right.
You understand?
You're trying to build a place and the contractor...
They say, oh, this costs a certain amount of money when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's next to nothing compared to what they are trying to say. And I talked to more than one person in my bracket that are trying. I got some people there are trying to get stuff for themselves, yes. And they're being done the same way. They say, well, this buddy tried to do this to me. Or,
the dishonesty. There's a lot more dishonesty out there today.
And trying exactly.
To, right. And trying to find somebody who's got the kind of integrity that you need is very hard. And when you find them, then, you know, you feel as though you've just discovered gold.
And what I'm trying to say is that when you have learned, even when you want to go and you get a car, you want a this and all that, especially with all these things that are throwing out, you go and get this, you would, and it'll be affordable, whatever, because you find that the cost of living is high. But when it is finished and that money is taken out, you have to, you want to be educated, yes. You want a home, that is taken out. You want different things, that is taken out. When you finish your salary because the cost of living is so high, you don't have nothing left when you go to the supermarket or...
How do you cope? How do you adjust that side of your life, therefore? How have you found that?
It is difficult, but I would like just to say, people out there like trying to dupe people out of things, you work hard for your money. And it's very sad to say that some people out there come to just manipulate other people to get what they want. I have people, know people out there, okay, they're educated and everything, but then to go to school and stuff like that, they said somebody gave them X. And what you say, wait, when they just gave you that, I mean, some people out there, they don't have to be a Nahili, but they're living with people to get money and all that. You understand? And certain things are hidden in Barbados that nobody really, you mean, you see people going and doing, like, if they, a lot of things hidden that nobody.
You mean prostitution?
It's prostitution, but people don't look at it as prostitution.
What they call it?
They just say, well,
making ends meet?
They're talking to somebody and they give them this, they give them this big item and all kind of thing, and you don't know how they get that.
So where you see Barbados going? I mean, you pull all of this together, from where you sit, where is the country going?
To tell the truth, I wonder how people that are in, as I tell you, some people work 3 days a week. Sometimes they have people like guards and things that stand at whole day and don't get the salary. I wonder how they run a household. Far be it that a fella that is on the road, I wonder how they even survive. Tell the truth. Because here you are learn everything and you want to be more educated and all that, you're trying to
like, to do all these other things, and it's difficult.
You is like, it's a lot of money. You really want to get to another level. You want to put yourself all for Barbados, yes. But you know that you can't do that without getting some kind of loan from this place to get to that spot. So that means that you're in limbo.
All right. Well, let's get some other views. Thank you very much for taking the time and sharing that experience with us. It is not something that we hear very often. Many times people are talking about it from the point of view of, you know, that what we call the macro picture. But when you get down to speaking with somebody who is living it, you know, it's a different matter altogether. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Yeah.
Going until 1 o'clock. Hello? Turn your... Hello?
Officer Ellis.
Yes.
Officer Ellis.
Uh-huh.
Right. Listening to the calling program this week and other times too, I've been hearing some things that I am not clear on, so I wanted to give me some clarification on two major points.
Mm-hmm.
The deal that the government had with Sanders Bush Stewart, was it for 40 years?
I can't be sure. It's 25. It was 25 years.
But I hear your favorite guy, the stats man, projecting it yesterday or the before as 40 years, and it passed as truth. It was with Mr. Price. And you know, Mr. Price is a journalist, so I see he endorsed it because he accepted it and let it pass. I've never heard anything about 40 years. The next thing is it only but Stewart that had this deal or the other hotels as well?
Look,
you recall?
I think what is the concern here is the depth of the deal, the degree to which these concessions have been granted. That's the contentious part of it. You can't say that only Sandals got concessions. I mean, Pacasio Les also got a lot of concessions there, and that wasn't the first time that people investing in Barbados have had concessions. I mean, over the years,
correct,
various concessions have been granted. The issue here has been revolving around the depth of it. And there was a 25-year tax break. That's what I have found here.
Right.
It's a 25-year tax break. But they were investing some $400 million in Barbados.
Right. So my understanding,
that's the point I'm making, though,
yeah. Right. The point I'm making is that your stats man is this revered, accurate person with these accurate stats. And I'm just saying that he's not as accurate as people think he is.
Let me just, Excuse me. I was just trying to pull up this for David to read it for him, but I couldn't get it onto his screen. It says on the expiration of the tax holiday period, a reduction of 50%. For a further 15 years. So I think that's why the guy said 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a 50% reduction for further 15 years at the end of the 25. It's on the it's on the Ministry of Finance Memorandum of Understanding letter. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Dennis.
No problem.
It was put over the door. It was just a 40-year-old deal, blank, like that. Now, the next thing is this. I recall that the hoteliers in Barbados was keeping a lot of noise because Sanders got the break, and they wanted it too.
And the government extended the same thing to some of them.
The same thing to them. So everybody get the same thing. So how people call it and say it is unfair that but Stewart get it, and the others, they get it.
I think the real discussion point should revolve around how much better off or worse off Barbados is overall as a consequence of the deal. You have to take everything into consideration, what the government has lost and also what the country has gained. And that is in terms of jobs and you know, the reach and that sort of thing. Now, the previous administration was very reluctant to give Bud Stewart that kind of sweet deal. In this administration,
right,
they have decided that they are, if you have to surrender something, in their judgment, it is worth it in terms of the promotion of Barbados abroad and the jobs that are created.
So there's a trade-off.
Good. It's a trade-off. Even if you listen to Barney Lake said early o'clock when everybody was complaining, bringing Butch Stewart here is a very good idea. He wasn't against it. And at times, you have to give way. If Rihanna today, for example, didn't allow those who manage her to get large sums of money off her, because most of these singers and artists get, you would say rob, I don't know if you use that word, but to take advantage of them in the beginning, they know that, but for you to get the break, Rihanna would not be the millionaire she is today if she didn't let millionaires rake off the money off of her back. Barbados has benefited from Butch Stewart here. First of all, the standards of hotels had to raise from the time he got here. And when they got here, they brought a lot of traffic to Barbados immediately. They were full instantly. Barbados, as somebody said yesterday, cannot pay for the kind of marketing that Butch Stewart does or Sanders does. And even things within the community. I mean, for me, from a business perspective, I really don't get any lot of work from them. But I believe in time it may happen. But the reality is this. Putting myself apart, the country has benefited. When I pass on mornings, with it under construction, you pass down Maxwell Road, you wonder what is going on. When the buses released workers there on mornings, that whole place is black with people.
All right, we got to go.
Going to Sanders.
We got to go. Okay. Thank you very much. And thanks to all the other people who participated in the program today. A special thanks to Dennis Johnson, who has been technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.